Let's do this, the Cult of Hockey podcast by the faithful and for the faithful. I'm David Staples of the Edmonton Journal, and I'm here today with Bruce McCurdy. Welcome, Bruce.
Hey, David.
How you doing?
I'm doing good.
Yeah, things are always a little bit better.
You can take out the Stanley Cup champions and at any time, that's got to be a good thing. You know, and thinking back, 2 years ago, Oilers beat Washington. I'm sure it was Washington. I'm sure it was late October, and I'm sure it was 4-1 on home ice. And that was just when they were really starting to get rolling on their good season. You know, the one good one they've had in the last century.
Well, I predicted they'd make the playoffs.
That's a good sign. Yeah, I did too.
This year, Bruce. Yeah, I did too. I think I probably predict them to make the playoffs every year, though. So, but I did have a good feeling, just basically based on the fact that they've got a superstar and they've got a decent supporting cast, and that should be. When the superstar's in his fourth year in the league, that's usually an ingredient to make the playoffs. It's not too high a bar to set. And they seem to be the last few games. I mean, they outchanced Nashville, they outchanced Pittsburgh, and they tied for grade A chances 10-10 with Washington. But this was a really significant win, Bruce. They're into the season now, 8 games, and they're at real 500. They have 4 wins and 4 losses, one of them an overtime loss. And 9 points in 8 games. So this is they're at real 500, not fake mm-hmm. Bettman loser point 500.
Right.
That's the mark of a playoff team. They haven't had it easy. They've had a fairly difficult schedule playing against tough teams with a lot of road trips. So a lot of things, mainly Connor McDavid, but some other things are really working out well for the Oilers right now. I mean, I'm not loving all aspects of the team, but they're trending in the right direction here. And let's move, Bruce, to we're doing the typical two good things, two bad things, and two numbers podcast. So let's move to your good thing.
Okay. Well, tonight's a night we certainly have to single out Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, who has been really outstanding, I think, for most of the games this year. He's really playing some of the best hockey of his career there with Connor McDavid. But tonight it was the Nuge who actually stepped up and took on the leading role. I mean, Connor McDavid was nowhere to be seen when Nuge scored a brilliant shorthanded goal in the second period against the best power play in hockey. And they got one power play chance, and the Oilers scored on it and held Washington without a shot. I mean, what are the odds? But it was just a great play by the Nuge. First of all, the way he hounded I think it was Carlson who was coming up and looking to do that reverse pass. And RNH was all over it. He knew what was going to happen. He curled in behind Carlson. He had his stick strong on the ice. When the pass came back, he had it. Then he walked the defense guy inside the blue line and then wired a perfect shot inside the post. I mean, it was kind of like the McDavid to Drysdale overtime winner the other night. The interception, the one-on-one flat-out deking, and then the ultimate, in this case, a shot rather than a pass. But the same kind of sequence. Defensive play, great move, great finish. What's not to like?
Yeah, and
then a great play really on the empty net goal, where, again, he walked a guy inside. He got the puck, he jumped on it, he walked a guy, and managed to chip it over to McDavid while getting hauled down for the empty netter.
Yeah, the shorthanded goal was on that. The NHL, many NHL teams now use that back pass in the power play. Mm-hmm. They advance the puck up the ice, and they have the trailer that they drop it back to. And I've seen the Oilers get burnt on that kind of shorthanded goal maybe once or twice last year. Mm-hmm. This is the first time I recall the Oilers burning someone on that, and that was a very sneaky, tricky, and smart play by Nugent Hopkins. I have to say that Holtby, Nugent's shot was a pretty darn good shot, and I graded it as a grade A chance because he's a real sniper, and he was moving in, and he was moving like it was a slippery enough shot, but it was on borderline A B, and then
Chase right on the margin, eh?
Jason's shot was definitely a grade B chance. I mean, Holt, that really stuck the knife into the Capitals. And the difference in this game was goaltending again. You know, both teams with 10 grade A chances, but this time Talbot was better than Holtby. So,
now, Holtby saved his best for McDavid, but he, as you say, he got beaten from a distance a couple times and looked good on him. I hate Holtby.
If Why do you hate Holtby? Why do you hate him? It's like,
well,
Saskatchewan? He's like a
I hate him. I hate him because I hate him in the sense that he's always beating my team. And I mean, 1-0 Washington beat the Oilers there at home 1 year. Another time it was 2-1 in overtime or shootout, whatever. And they just couldn't score on the guy. And anyway, I mean, that's his job, I realize. But anyway, it's nice to see one go in behind him. And I had an extra fist pump because it was Holtby, I got to say.
Speaking of, well, I don't know what the segue is there. I forgot it. But things that make us smile because we're both smiling. Calgary lost 9-1 to Pittsburgh.
Well, I guess they didn't get a betting point like we did against the Penguins.
Calgary sucks. All right. not the city, just the Flames. I like Calgary. I was down there today.
Oh, yeah? That's why you're all dolled up, eh?
Yeah. I was covering a conference on pipelines. Okay. So my good thing, Bruce, was something that I've been hoping to see for a while and something I've been expecting to see for a while, and that's Evan Bouchard pumping in a slap shot on the power play. The guy has a wicked quick shot, very fast release.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to think of an Oilers defenseman who's had that kind of fairly heavy shot, but that fast release, and I'm having a hard time. When he gets into his prime in the NHL, and I'm getting ahead of myself here, but I always do that. When he gets into his prime in the NHL, that could be quite a lethal force. You know, he had a few bad moments in the game.
Yeah.
He was partly responsible, him and Gravel on one goal against. They kind of lost the man at the side of the net and were a little soft. And he had a turnover that led to a break.
Yeah,
and so not a perfect game, but I really, really am enjoying Evan Bouchard's game. Now, I don't know. I can't answer you. If they called up Ethan Bear and sent him to the minors, would Ethan Bear be that much worse than Evan Bouchard this year? I don't know the answer to that, but I really like him on the power play. I wrote a post earlier this week saying I'd like him on the top. I'd like to see him on the top power play unit before he's sent down. And I understand the coach has got to win games or he's going to lose his job. So maybe he doesn't want to experiment. Maybe he's got a pretty short string. I think we saw that short string with Jesse Puljujärvi. But I think Bouchard is a better power play candidate to score a goal. I mean, how many goals has Oscar Klefbom scored on the power play last year?
He got one last year and it was a fluke.
So there you go. Like, he's already tied him. So that's my good thing, Evan Bouchard.
Yeah, I mean, boy, there was no sign of a yak selly from him. Hey, pretty cool customer. Like, he barely smiled. Like, whoa, talk about a cucumber.
He's been that since he came up. He's just really a calm hockey player. That's his whole game. And I like his game a lot. I'm increasingly confident that that pick is going to turn out well and possibly very well for the Edmonton Oilers. And that's so crucial. You can't burn those number one picks and not have them turn out. And that was a big one because it was a fairly high pick. So Bruce, what was your bad thing?
My bad thing was the Oilers' power play. It got worse as the game went along, but I was particularly annoyed with the power play they put out with about 6 minutes to go in the game. Washington got a couple of real cheap penalties. One was a face-off violation, then one was delay of game or something. They didn't put out the right players after an icing call or something, and they got dinged for that. And the Oilers had a chance to put the skates on the throats of the Caps, make it 4-1 on the power play, or at least control the puck, play sensible. And for 2 minutes, it was just a gong show where they were chasing. I mean, Washington was obviously in attack mode, but the Oilers were almost complicit in letting them come on and not controlling the puck and not playing hard. And I wouldn't single out this power play, except for this is already the third time this year I've seen the same thing. First happened in New York Rangers when the Oilers were ahead 2-1 with about 6 or 7 minutes to go. They got a power play, and it flat out stunk. It did nothing. And then last game against Pittsburgh, they got that faceoff violation. 5-5 game, 5 minutes left, critical time. where, you know, a power play goal potentially wins them the game. And again, they just couldn't get out of their own way. And it's like game when the game's on the line late, let's show some killer instinct out there. It was like they were just trying to hope the 2 minutes went off the clock and nothing bad happened. And, of course, something bad nearly happened.
I think the Oilers have the worst best power play in the NHL right now. Bruce, I know that they're scoring goals. They are scoring goals. And that's what it's all about, scoring goals. So we can't complain too much. And, again, they scored a goal here tonight. But that top unit in the offensive end, when they're in their set offense, they don't get very much done. And I'm still not seeing them look dangerous in that set offensive group, that the five left shots. And I know McClellan defended it the other day. I'm not seeing it. I don't, they haven't generated a lot of chances, that group of five.
They're most dangerous when McDavid is blasting into the zone, gaining the blue line, which he's absolutely fantastic on the power play. He's unstoppable. I think he had four solo zone entries tonight and a fifth one where he drew three guys to him and then made a feed and the guy walked in clean on the right wing boards. And there's just no real way to stop him. If you flood his zone, he'll kill you with a pass. So we have the speed and the control that he's got. He's just like the proverbial hot knife through butter when he's attacking through the neutral zone.
Yeah, I don't. Connor McDavid may get better as a player. I don't think he's going to be better as an attacker than he is in this next. He's in his prime as an attacker, is what I'm trying to say. This year, in the next 2, 3, 4 years, this is prime McDavid attacking. Mm-hmm. So the thing I didn't like was Draisaitl's play in the defensive zone, and he just, I don't know, man. He just seems to be on the wrong side of the puck a lot, kind of cruising around, not really taking anyone, not taking command in that defensive zone and just rubbing guys out, winning the puck. He just kind of cruises. He gives quite a bit of gap, and he didn't get burned tonight. He's been burned for goals in other games, but I'm still not seeing the level of commitment and intensity that he needs to exhibit as a defensive center that he's fully capable of displaying. I mean, mandatory 1980 sports reference. He's got to be the Peter Nogli of the German oak of the central defense.
I love Peter Nogli.
What about Andy Atawagbu?
So I was a season ticket holder in the Drillers back in the day.
What did you think of Hans Kreay Jr.?
he
was the Will Acton of that team. So, Draisaitl's got to crank it up. That's how I'm seeing it. Bruce, I'm not loving his – I like it. He seems to be getting more involved offensively, and he's moving his feet more. But he's got so much more to offer as a two-way hockey player, and I want to start seeing that more often.
Well, tonight, Draisaitl, for the first time all year, and in all situations, he was not on the ice for a goal against – the first time all year, and I'm just looking it up, but it was the last 16, 17 games in a row now.
Mm-hmm.
4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. The last 8 of last year and the first 7 of this year, 15 games in a row. You know, I mean, goals against are going to happen, but they shouldn't happen every single night. On your watch. And I think there might be a post in here. He had a lot more games last year where the other guy scored than he did the previous year. And I'm not sure his defensive play is coming along at the rate you might expect. Tonight he was, I think his effort was good, but he kept skating himself into trouble and then he kept coughing the puck up with 5 giveaways, by far the most on the team.
I see him shifting off to cover the point too much rather than staying down low. I just want him to stay, get on those guys in the corner, battle them a little harder. There was a couple times when I saw him kind of switch out from the defensive slot area, like, or on the boards and the defenses into like cover the point. And I don't know if that's their system, but I'd like to see him get after that guy with the puck. He's big. He's rangy. He should be able to just smother those players. So, Bruce, what is your number
Okay. Oh, I got a few numbers, David, but they're all for one player. I'm going to do what I've done a couple other times with Darnell Nurse, but this time talk about Adam Larson and his remarkable full event summary of action. And now you had him at 3 scoring chances for and 1 against, I believe. And the shots on net figure during the monstrous 23 and a half minutes he played at even strength tonight, 17 shots for, 11 against. And here's his line from the event summary. 1 assist, plus 2, 24 minutes and 20 seconds, including 31 shifts, a team high. And then he had 4 shot attempts, 2 hits to lead the defense, 3 takeaways to lead the defense, 5 block shots to lead the defense. Like his defensive points. So you remember your defensive points project, yeah, right? Plays without the puck. Takeaways, block shots, and hits led the team in all 3 categories. And he had a monster game. I mean, to me, my favorite play by Larson tonight was on the penalty kill when he made a big block of Ovechkin's drive, and then he went to the corner kind of limping it off, and he had got in this huge puck battle against 2 guys, and he wound up winning the puck battle and advancing the puck to Strom, and he iced it, and they went off. And that's when Nuge came out fresh and disrupted and scored the on the next counterattack. And it was a big defensive stand that preceded that. And Larson was in the middle of that. But he was in the middle of a lot of them. Man, he won a lot of battles in this game.
Yeah, one of the reasons the Oilers are playing decent hockey right now is their top 4 defense. They're getting some good mileage, especially out of Klefbom and Larson. Nurse had a somewhat rougher game tonight. He had a few gaffes. But Russell's really been playing well. And, you know, of course, Larson last year was injured, and that trade looked terrible last year. You know, but as you recall, the year before, most Oilers fans were happy with that trade. So
anywhere for sure. I mean, there's some that hated it from day one, of course.
Oh yeah, but no, the vast majority,
large number of people. Everybody likes Larson. I think that's a distinction that we can make.
Yes.
Leave this trade aside, because you know, trade is it's the trade, but Larson is Larson, and he's an easy player to like, especially for an old goalie. Man, I like those hardcore, hard rock defensemen. And he's definitely one of those, a Swedish Gator.
Yeah, it was always clear the Devils were going to get a huge win out of that trade. But the key for the Oilers is, do they get a win out of it? And they got one in the first year. They didn't get one last year, mainly because of injuries to Larson and to Klefbom. But he's back, and he is playing some strong hockey right now.
Oh, that's a good
That was
pair.
Probably his best game of the year, and he and Klefbom has been playing the best hockey of his career, in my opinion. I don't love him on the power play, but he's been just kicking butt at even strength, and Larson's been right there with him, so that's a really huge thing. My stat, Bruce, my number is 5, and that is the number of breakaways that breakaway grade A scoring chances. Now, I think there was 2 chances on the 1 breakaway, but he was... How did he not score, put the game away a little earlier? Those aren't like 25% chances. They're more like, what, 33% chances, 40% chances, McDavid on the breakaway?
Yeah, you'd think.
And he finally needed the net to be empty to score on one of them, but he was flying. He was getting some nice moves by other people to set him up and break him in there too. But, man, he can create a breakaway out of nothing. I mean, there was one play where Yamamoto put it over to Nuge, and Nuge just kind of tapped it over, but it was McDavid's speed that made that.
He was flying up the middle, yeah.
Yeah.
And the same thing on the empty net goal. You know, when Nuge broke over his own blue line, or certainly when he hit center, I mean, McDavid was like a zone behind him. And, of course, Nuge was getting heavily pursued, but by the time he tapped the puck over, McDavid had caught and passed him, and he just walked it into, well, want to call 100 mile an hour walking it into the net, but that's was a nice way to end the night, and I think Connor deserved at least 1 point for his night's work, so we'll take the empty netter. You know what, I'm still waiting for the game where the Oilers score an empty netter and lose. I don't think it's ever happened.
So Nuge has what, 11 points in 8 games, I believe?
He does.
That's pretty good. I like that line for Ryan Nugent-Hopkins. Couldn't happen to a nicer guy. and a more diligent hockey player who's been through some really bad times, rough times in Edmonton. At least not for his own fault so much, but he's really playing well.
I'm seeing some real elegance to his game, you know. Real smart veteran plays, knows where the good ice is. He's quite happy to take the puck and dangle over on the side and let the play develop and not try and force things. And he's also, I love that role he's got on the power play where they get the puck to him sort of just up top of the left circle and he takes one or two steps in, head up. He's looking. If the shooting lane's there, he's going to let fly with that excellent shot of his. And if the shooting lane's not there, he's just going to patiently spin it back to Klefbom, or he's going to take it out wide into that ice and reset. But he's not going to just give it away by shooting it into a crowd and having it blocked and bounce out, or, you know, taking a low percentage shot. But if the shot's there, he's got the capacity of beating goalies from anywhere inside the top of the circle with his shot. And he's just playing just the whole game that he's playing is just up a class, it seems like, from where, and I mean, he's always been good, don't get me wrong, but I think he's taking the next step right now, and it's wonderful to see.
I really like him, Nugent, Draisaitl, and McDavid on the power play, and I think that they all three, they're just such high-skill players. I just not convinced when Nugent makes that back pass, for instance, to Klefbom. It should be more dangerous than it is, but Oscar's just a little bit mechanical in terms of it. He's got a hard shot, but
anyway. I saw there was one sequence on the point tonight where the puck went through Bouchard's stick two or three times in rapid succession. It just seemed so much more natural, and you really didn't know which side the pass was going to go. I mean, one time I think he passed it to Kajula rather than McDavid, and you think, well, what the hell is that all about? But I thought it was actually a good play. He completely fooled Washington. They were all going the other way, and he just kept the play alive and got to a guy with open ice in front of him, and just sort of very natural movement of the puck. And Klefbom, a little bit more mechanical, as you say.
Yeah, it's always like a split second later that he's making the play, and it's a split second more obvious where it's going. But that's the difference in between scoring and not scoring on the power play is that split second and that moment of deception. So that's why I'd like to say, maybe that's not going to work with Bouchard. Maybe he's not yet ready for that. And maybe the coach just thinks he'll be too jittery. I don't know, but I wouldn't mind seeing that. Bruce, well, we got the game coming up in Nashville. That's going to be a tough one. But it's trending well so far. That'd be great if they can get a point or two in Nashville, and it's not impossible because Soder's team isn't bad. It's with Connor McDavid and everyone else kind of healthy and playing well, this is a decent team.
Well, 4-3-1, when you consider the schedule and the travel regimen, you know, this is better than many of us dared to hope. Like, I know Low Tide was a pretty level guy with his reasonable expectations, and he says he's got Oilers making the playoffs, but he has October predicted as 3 wins, 6 losses, 2 points, extra points, for 8 points in 11 games. Well, they've already got 9 with 3 games to go. So, I mean, they're just a little bit outperforming in terms of results, what you would expect. I mean, the betting favorites have been the other guys in most games they've played to this point.
All righty. Let's leave it there, Bruce.
All right.
Thanks for talking tonight.
Yeah, thanks for listening, everyone. Nice win for the Oilers tonight.
And in the meantime, and in between times, this has been another edition of the Cult of Hockey podcast.